And there's a couple of big factors, I'd say, aside from the team aspect of the team itself. There's two factors that I think really pop out at me as to that really show the change that has taken place from last year to this year. The first thing that pops out at me is, and I believe we discussed this before, Melvin Ford. I mean, it seems like he's gone from like level 3 to level 6 all in one big giant leap with the way he has really come together and provided, in my mind, more consistency into what he does on the floor. Talk about Melvin's growth a bit here from his sophomore season to junior year and what you expect to see from him in the not just the coming weeks, but also his senior year next year.
Yeah, I mean, just really excited about how Melvin has played down the stretch here. And I would say some of that inconsistency we even had a little bit early on this year. I mean, looking at just his past few games down the stretch here, he's really stepped up his play. I think that he is a capable double-digit scorer. So he doesn't always look for his offense because he's such an unselfish team player and just a terrific rebounder. But he can score. I mean, he's got one game during the season where he hit for 27. We just want Melvin to go out every night and be a dominating athlete. He sets the tone for our pressure defense, being our madman, as we call him, on the front of the press. And we're expecting big things, you know, from Melvin throughout this postseason. And certainly he's going to be relied on next year to add some more interior scoring.
And then the second part of that I was making reference to when we were bringing up Melvin would be the addition of Travis Gill out of Brooklyn, that's the transfer from St. Rose, and then the two other transfers from the Florida area, Andre Robinson and Jordan McRae, adding a much different aspect to the game. Really, it's kind of like taking the game that Mason Horn was providing last year and then putting it in three guys instead of just having it in one guy, in the way that they can dribble and drive and help create off the dribble like that. Talk about the impact those three guys have had on your team.
Yeah, the newcomers have been terrific. I mean, such a great addition to the team. You know, you have to remember we graduated three very, very key cornerstones of this program with Mason Horn, Jeff Stepair, and Ryan LaBelle. So to replace, you know, three significant pieces with newcomers, we couldn't have asked for them to fit into our program or the Sage community any better. All three fit perfectly into our up-tempo style of play, and they each bring something a little bit different to the table. Travis is unique because he can really defend. I mean, he doesn't care about, you know, who gets the credit offensively or the points or his name in the box score, things like that. He takes great pride in defense, and that's been a tremendous asset for our club. And Jordan's capable of obviously creating some highlight-type plays and been a consistent double-digit scorer. And Andre, we asked to do a little bit of everything. I mean, he's one of the stronger rebounding guards in the conference, shoots it pretty well from three, and we're asking him to run our club and score double digits as well. So I couldn't be prouder of these guys, and also the roles of all the guys on the team that, and far as accepting their roles and putting the team first.
Brian Barnes, head coach of Sage Men's Basketball, joining us here on Katie's Corner on Sporty 1240. NBC Sports Radio and streaming live online at sporty1240.com. One other thing that interests me about this roster going forward beyond this year would be the two additions in the freshman class, Alex Lilac and Deshaun Washington. Talk about what you've seen from them since arriving to the team and what you believe they can do as Gators.
Sure, both terrific additions. I should mention Alex is technically a sophomore. He did compete for a year at Cortland on an NCAA championship team. So he's in his sophomore year, but certainly a newcomer to us, and Deshaun obviously in his freshman year. Both very good additions in different ways. Deshaun really has a heck of a lot of potential on both sides of the ball. Really plays hard. I don't think that we've seen what he can do in the open court yet in terms of his... He really has some terrific open court speed, and I think we'll see that as he gets later into his career. So, excited about his future. Alex, just a tremendously skilled guard, really works hard on his game, total team guy. Always puts the team first, smile on his face, great attitude. And, you know, two guys we're certainly excited about for them to have enhanced roles, you know, next year and beyond that.
Now let's talk a bit about this this upcoming conference tournament, a tournament where, you know, good for you. You get a first-round bye. You get to chill an extra 2 days, and by chill I mean practice. But you'll have a semifinal game at home Thursday in which you'll be taking on the winner of the Old Westbury Yeshiva quarterfinal game. Teams you've dealt with twice each this year. It seems to me Yeshiva, I mean, this from the outside looking in, you can totally correct me if I'm wrong, but Yeshiva probably presents a little bit more of an issue than Old Westbury. But what are your opinions on the two teams that you could potentially face in the semis?
Well, I think you've got to respect each of your opponents, whoever they may be. They both present different challenges. Yeshiva, very cerebral team. They lead the conference in field goal percentage. So they're going to make you work on defense. They're going to run their offense. They're going to take great shots. They're going to play together. Old Westbury, one of the more dynamic, athletic teams in the league, which actually presents a challenge because they're able to match our up-tempo style. So with us wanting to press and run for an entire game, when you're up against an opponent that has the pieces, has the players that are able to match that athleticism, it certainly presents its challenges. So regardless of who we play, our guys will be focused, will be prepped, and we'll be ready for the challenge.
Finally, before I let you go, we did discuss this briefly before we came on the air. After the season ends, the job doesn't end for you there, as you do actually host a couple of basketball camps, one during a break in early April and another one in late June, early July. But obviously, we'll focus on the April one specifically. Talk us through what you guys do at the Sage basketball camps and how people could potentially get in contact with you for signing up.
Sure. The camp is, we're in our seventh year. We've had it each year since we've been here. We've sold out the last 3 years. So it's been a hot ticket the last 3 years. Not that many camp options during the April break. So it'll be April 6th to the 10th. It's a full-day camp, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. with free early drop-off and free late pickup. And we run through everything as far as skill development, offensively, defensively, five-on-five play. It's a great chance for youngsters to get together and have a week full of basketball, and also the opportunity to interact with members of our program. I mean, our guys look forward to it as much as the campers do, because they get a chance to come in and hang out and spend time with the campers, and you know, it's really good for our players as well to be a part of it.
Brian Barnes, head coach of Sage Men's Basketball. Coach, thank you very much for coming on the show, and I'll see you on Thursday.
Brian, my pleasure. Thanks so much. See you next week.